There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. This is episode 67. Today we're going to discuss fear. We discuss fear all the time, but we're going to talk about it in more of nuances of the little fears. How does fear limit us? Well, we all create a persona. This is how we represent ourselves to the world. Our persona, though, is completely false. It's not really who we are. We are all limitless beings of pure positive love, and our persona is this concept of us that we make up, and it is nothing like who we really are. But we are all limited to this persona because of these little fears, and these little fears interact with us because of this persona we've created. Today we're going to talk about a question that came from one of the new one-on-one people, Raydun. And she asked a question about this, and it turned into its conversation about fear. So let's get going with that. On the roundtable this week, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
We're in a silly mood today. We had a silly conversation before we got started. So that was we didn't even talk about setting our intentions.
Oh, right.
So let's all set our intentions right now. This is something we do at the beginning of every show, always before we record it. And since we forgot to, now we can do it live while we're in this podcast. But
with our friends.
With our friends. So you can all listen along and set your intentions too. So our intention is to have a lot of fun. That's the most important thing of any of these podcasts. Mm-hmm. And they always are fun for us. And that's why we do it. We don't do it because of the millions of dollars that come in. Of course, that's fun. We do it because of the love and enjoyment we have from Josh.
And each other.
And each other. Actually, if we had millions of dollars coming in, that would be fun, too.
Yeah, it would.
We've got to find sponsors. So, Joe Rogan, when he first started his podcast, the only sponsor was the Love Glove, or this Love Tube thing. So he talked about it for a while.
Look at them to sponsor us.
Yeah, so you got to start somewhere, right? So, Kylie, would you reach out to them and see if they'd like to talk to our 6 million members? Yeah. 6 million
podcast
listeners.
Podcast I listen to.
Don't tell them that most of our listeners have no money because they're non-physical. Don't mention that part.
Or maybe they have all the money.
They have all the money.
Yeah. Okay, so our intention is to have fun. Our intention is to talk about how fear plays a part in our lives and limits us from being who we really are and what we really want to get. And you know, I can think of a million little fears that I have, so we'll talk about that. And to not worry about who's listening and just be yourself. And, you know, we are lucky enough to have a group of listeners who are really loving people and are like-minded and are non-judgmental. So that's our intentions. We have this week a whole bunch of quotes because these were all the quotes about fear. Do you guys have those quotes up?
I do.
Okay. Who wants to read the first one?
I'll read it. Exhilaration is the emotion felt when you overcome a fear.
Isn't that true? Isn't that why we go on a roller coaster? You know, you have this fear and you're going clanking up the hill through the first one and it's getting intense fear and the fear is building. And then you go down and you feel exhilaration, not because of the ride itself, but because there was fear there. Without fear, you wouldn't feel exhilaration.
Yeah.
So it's exhilarating to push past fear. And it's funny how it always works out. When you push past these little irrational fears, it works out. Now, rational fears, well, that'll work out, too. You'll just be, you know, maybe transition to the non-physical a little bit ahead of time. You know, like if you pet a lion or or something. Okay.
Without
what's the
a
next
tranquilizer.
One? Yeah, without a device.
Fear is what keeps you from anything and everything you want.
Well, that's true of rational and irrational fear. So fear is limiting. Sometimes it's limiting for a good thing in the case of rational fear, where it can get you hurt. But if the fear is irrational, like speaking on a podcast, for instance, there's no real problems that can come from speaking on a podcast like this, right? You laugh, Wendy. But everyone has the fear. Everyone has the fear of coming on. Everyone has the fear of being on Joshua Live and talking to Joshua, you know?
Sure.
Because they think, well, what if I ask something stupid, or what if I expose some part of myself that I don't want people to know about, or, you know, what if someone that I know gets hold of this podcast and listens to me talk about this, right? Well, that's all. Your persona is, you know, you're trying to defend this idea of yourself, but that idea of yourself is totally false anyway. But once people are on that podcast, everyone has fun and everyone enjoys it and everyone gets some good information, and you always leave in a much better, you know, mood than you were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, okay, what's the next one?
The tool to overcome fear and worry is trust, Joshua.
Okay. So we were all raised that, this just came the other day, I think Josh was in someone's question, where that, maybe that was Joshua Live, where you're a toddler and you fall down. Your parents don't say, oh my God, that's so horrible that you fell down. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to keep you in a crib so that you'll never walk again and you'll never fall down. You know, no, they say, get back up and walk. You'll be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's two-year-old, if someone takes a two-year-old's doll and the two-year-old cries, they go to the person that took the doll and say, give it back, right? They try and fix the conditions instead of helping the child realize it's just a doll. It's no big deal. You can get them again. You'll get it back later, or you get a new one, or whatever. If it's in your reality, it's in your reality. Imagine if we were all taught that way, both physically and emotionally. But no, we're taught by this old approach to life that says you've got to fix the conditions.
Right.
But if you have faith that the universe is supporting you, instead of this idea that you have to fight for everything because there's lack, right? So it's this idea of this is a loving and supportive universe, that everything you need is provided to you when you need it, exactly as all the billions of animals out there. You see birds flying south for the winter. Well, no one gave them a map. They're receiving inspiration. No one tells them which plot of land to land on to get food. They just have the inspiration to land on this field. The food's right there. And then they spend the night, and then the next morning they go off again, right? So they don't have bank accounts. They don't have a pantry. They don't have storage sheds. They don't have any of that stuff. But we tend to think we have to control all that stuff.
That parenting analogy made me think of baby-proofing. Like, how many people baby-proof? I put covers in the outlets and things that could kill them, but I didn't cover up the corners of the coffee table. And I wasn't even into this stuff then, but I was just like, these are the conditions that you live in. You know, like, it's important to, like, find a way to navigate your way through them and around them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I love watching the show House Hunters International, and they go, oh my God, there's a staircase in the house, or oh, there's this balcony. The kids are going to launch themselves off the balcony. This is not safe. Or there's a door in her bedroom that leads to the outside. You know, they might open the door up in the middle of the night and leap off the balcony.
I do have a dresser in front of my kids' balcony door.
Your kids would do it. The older one would throw the younger one over the balcony.
Yeah. And you wouldn't find out about it till they're much older. I find out that, like, did all kinds of shit that I never knew about.
Right. The other thing, though, is, like, they jump off the top of their bunk bed, and a lot of people, like, wouldn't be comfortable with that. But I let them do that so when they fall and it hurts a little bit, they know that, like, it's going to hurt even more if they jump off the balcony.
Rather than jump off the balcony than off the roof, which is, like, what a lot of people...
Mine have done. Mine, I found out, would jump off the roof all the time into the pool.
Yeah, we used to jump off the pool all the time. The problem is the YouTube fails. You can watch people not making it off the roof.
Yeah.
And that will bring up some fear. I'm pretty sure.
Use those limiting beliefs. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
I was just gonna say I had that sort of like motherly feeling when I was reading Ray Dunn's question. I was, you know, that sort of like, oh, you're going to be running in no time. Like, it feels like you're falling right now, but just wait.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Well, Wendy asked a question about her sons and how, you know, she is so emotionally tied to their well-being. Josh was pretty much saying that you were the porthole of their from physical and from non-physical to physical, and your job's basically done. Okay, so get over yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so conditioned. Like, if I'm not worried about them, then they won't be okay.
It's right, like, your worry is the only thing that keeps them safe, not the universe, but your worry.
Exactly. Right. I'm visualizing them in bubble wrap. Is the only thing that keeps them safe.
Yeah. And that their only reason that, but you know, that's a sort of absolutely a natural, and when I'm typing this out, you know, I'm thinking in the back while they're talking to you, and I'm like, yeah, you're not going to be able to convince a mother not to be worried about their kids. But they did point out that when you feeling good is tied to their well-being, then they're going to change how they respond to you so that you can keep feeling good, because they want you to feel good so that they can feel good, which means they're going to be different than who they are around you. If you open and easy and allowing them to do whatever they want and not afraid, then they can be who they are around you. But if you feel fear, if they say, hey, we're going to go skydiving or we're going to go whitewater rafting, they're just not going to tell you those things if you're the kind of person that freaks out about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're going to miss all that stuff.
I had an example of that recently. All three of my sons, through their jobs, travel the world, literally, travel the world. Or my youngest son just left on the 6th. He won't be back till the 16th. He would not tell me where he's going. He'd take his phone, nothing. I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And what? I didn't realize that my they're picking up on my vibration.
Mm.
Vibrationally, they're
picking up. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I've dealt with that, too, with my kids, like, especially right after we split up and I went from being stay-at-home mom to, like, having them half the time, you know? And so I would worry about, like, when they were with him, like, what he was teaching them, you know, or, like, what habits they were going to be picking up. And I, like, just sort of stopped and turned it to, like, instead of thinking about what I didn't want for them, just focused on, like, okay, I want them to be safe. And, like, thinking about, like, directing it towards, like, what I want for them instead of coming at it from worry, like, what is, I don't know.
Yeah, so you came at it from love.
And they pick up, they pick up on a different vibration, I think.
Right. And that's what Joshua had said to Wendy. It's not your words, it's your vibration. So you may not say, oh, I'm really worried about you, call me every day. I mean, you may say that, but that's not what they're picking up. They're picking up this vibration of worry, you know, and reacting to that. But that just shows you that that last quote, the solution to that fear is faith, that they are creating their own reality, that everything's happening for them, that the universe is taking care of them, that they have an inner self that guides them. They don't need you to guide them. I told Lily that I have my own inner self. Lily, you don't need to guide me. she goes, I mean, so here's the thing. We make our shakes in the morning together. We're in this little area and I take my probiotics and I go, I know she's going to say something. So I take my probiotics. She goes, you know, you have to take that with food. And I go, hey, I have an inner self that tells me what to do. Okay. I don't need you telling me what to do.
You could have said, oh, thanks, honey.
I know. I could have said that, but that just
You're right.
That's
You're right.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Thank you.
There I go. So if any of you who are listening to this podcast aren't applying these rules and principles perfectly or beating yourself up for it, just know that we're the same way as you are.
Yep.
Yep. So we know what we should do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we fall back into old patterns.
Digress.
But that serves as a reminder of, like, how contrast, like, when fall back, when you see how that feels as compared to, like, when you're living these teachings all the time. Because I ebb and flow and, like, go through phases where I'm just on it and fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck, can bother me. But then that goes.
Honey,
and
I've
been trying to realize when I am having those good moments and those good days. Like, mm-hmm. I forget what day it was. I think it was Wednesday. I had an amazing day. And then the next day it was kind of like, bleh. It's like back to the old stuff.
Yeah, I won the first tournament of the World Series, and I just brushed everyone, and I had more than half the chips in the whole tournament.
Wow.
And won the most money so far in the tournament for a while, which is really fun. Thing to say, and then come back the next day and just get crushed to do some stupid stuff, and you're like, what the hell? I thought that was good.
You are, Gary.
I am. Sometimes the, it was interesting, too, because there was like two tournaments, one in the daytime and one in the nighttime, and I played the daytime one that lasts a couple days, and I just made some terrible mistakes. And then I come at the nighttime one, and I just play perfectly and win a lot of money. And had I not, I felt so bad when I got knocked out of the first one, and so bad even walking in, they're still playing while the second one's starting, and I'm like, oh, I should be there. This is where I should be. And then I win the second one. And I was like, oh, my God, I've won more money in this tournament than even the top whatever of the other tournament, and it all worked out for me.
But funny how that happened.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so I went for like 3 hours of pure misery for no reason at all.
What a novel idea, right? That things happen for us.
God. Someone should write a book.
For us, interesting. You mean it's not happening?
Or for. Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, right. Goodness. I think there was one more quote.
Oh, good.
There was one more, wasn't there?
I only saw that.
You have nothing to fear but your own untrained imagination.
Ah, there you go. That's it.
I love that one.
That is a good one. You have nothing to fear but
really
your own untrained
one. I missed
imagination.
That one.
So what you're really feeling is these stupid stories that you're telling yourself. That is that limited perspective, and it does not agree with your inner self's perspective, and that's why you feel negative emotion. So what's really happening is nothing to fear. There is nothing going wrong. The only thing that's going wrong or sideways is your perspective and what you're telling yourself and the story you're telling yourself, and this bullshit you're making up.
Because you're making it all up.
Yeah, so if you might as well make up an awesome story. Like I could have said, that was awesome. I got busted out of that tournament, which means I can go into the nightly tournament. Had I been playing a long time in this tournament, I wouldn't be able to go in the nightly tournament, and I'm going to win that nightly tournament. And then I won the nightly tournament, and everything was right with the world. Until the next day.
So we think that people around us aren't getting this. My husband, the other day, we have this thing going on in our neighborhood, and it's out of control. And my husband says to me, well, we're going to make up the story that it's this is this and this. And I'm like, what?
I love that.
Let's make up this story. I'm like, all right, I like it.
So you hadn't said anything about this before to him?
I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, so he got it.
You're doing it, and they see it, and they pick up on it, which works way better than being like, well, you can make up a different story,
Absolutely.
Exactly. I'm practicing.
He comes home at work and says, oh, so-and-so did such and such, and I'm like, well, I'm going to make up the story that they had a really bad fight with their husband or that they are not feeling well. And he's like, yeah. And then he turned around the other day and said, I'm going to make up the story. I'm like,
I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and someone was quoting someone spiritual and they were saying, so they were talking about this whole thing about making up stories. And so, you could be someone who sees a big SUV going down the road and thinking they're taking up too much space and they're burning precious, energy, and they're just don't care about the environment. Or you can make up a story that maybe that's woman in there who was in an accident in a smaller car, and now she can really only feel safe in this bigger car, and that she needs to have a big car to feel comfortable driving, or she has a million kids and stuff that she really needs it for. You can make up that story. Since you do not know, why not make up a story that makes you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so let's go ahead and do Radon's question. And who wants to read for Radon?
I will.
Wendy, do you want to do Joshua this week? I mean,
really? No.
No? Okay.
You're so much better at Joshua.
please.
So this was a big deal, by the way. So Radon lives in Norway, a couple hours away from Astrid. And I can sense how the culture of Norway is, reserved. And everyone, keeps to themselves. And like Astrid was talking the other day that, you don't look people in the eye. You don't say hello to anyone because people think that's just super weird that you would do that. Yeah. And so but they're reserved and they're conservative. And so Radon has a lot of fears and everyone has these fears. But, like, she didn't want to be the Joshua Live call. And neither did Astrid, you know. And a lot of people don't, because it's, you know, exposing yourself to the world. And, but Astrid pushed past her fear, be the Joshua Live calls, and she's getting people responding well to her. And Ray Dunn is allowing us to use her question, which was pushing past a huge fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. And it seems like baby steps to us, but it's like huge, gigantic leaps to them.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But I remember
that's how it always
those.
Is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right. Dear Joshua, I think I have been getting better at feeling good and can more easily stop when I'm feeling bad and change my inner dialogue. This is quite easy when I'm alone and is also getting easier with my children are around. But I feel that when my mate is home, who works away from home, but is home most weekends, I struggle finding my zen. I know I have a lot of momentum, but I'm getting better at telling myself that it is not him, it is me, and I have the power to change. I guess what I want from you is some validation that I'm getting better. Isn't it funny how we all want them to validate us? My question is about joy. I am not sure that I feel joy, but more like contentment. I would like for more experiences where there is a lot of laughter and intense joy, but maybe I am far from there yet. When I deliberately look for better feeling thoughts and feel what I think is contentment, I am kind of, what now? I am not sure I am inspired to do much but taking a walk, but my feet hurt, go grocery shopping, or surf the net. Okay, now I know what this question is about. I am impatient. I want something fun to happen, and I'm looking for evidence that I am in a much better place than I was before, but my life looks exactly the same, and I kind of struggle to see how this weekend will be any different than the ones before. Raiden.
And this is question number 25 for her. She's right about 1 month into it, exactly. I was going to say
I love that she already... Well,
yeah.
I was just going to say, I love that she's already figuring out what her question's about, you know, 25 questions
exactly.
in.
Exactly, exactly. And yeah. Isn't it interesting how our mates are always the most, the biggest mirror?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And isn't it amazing how she speaks, she can write so well in English?
Yeah.
Being from Norway?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question from, I get questions in French all the time. Sometimes Spanish, but in French. And so this week I used Google Translate, and I translated it into English, answered it in English, and then used Google Translate and translated it back into French and sent it back to the guy, and he said it was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Technology.
But it's amazing. Yeah. Like, can you imagine being able to speak another language as well as this? There's just no way we could do it.
No.
Yeah.
I studied, like, I can speak French. I went to school for it, and I, like, use it in a job, but I don't think that I could write a question nearly that well. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Really amazing.
Impressive.
All right. Let's go to what Joshua has to say.
All right. Dear Ray Dunn, you are improving. You are getting better. Your vibration is rising. The fact that you have not seen any evidence of change in your outer world has nothing to do with your growth and expansion. It has to do with your attachment to a specific outcome. Release your attachment to any specific external condition and you will see change.
Okay. So this is true of anyone practicing the law of attraction. The reason, including me, that I got into law of attraction, the reason that almost everyone does, is that they want to change something that they don't like in their conditions. In my case, it was we had just gone through this financial collapse, and I wanted to figure out how to make money again. And so I'm attached to this condition changing, and which is fine, because one of the first things that I noticed was numbers repeating at the time, and I still pay attention to that, which means that I am receiving inspired thought. Okay, so the inspiration is look at the clock now. Oh, it's 11:11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I always pay attention to getting how often I get the first spot in a parking lot. It's like, that's a pretty amazing thing, you know. Inspired to go here right then and there and get the parking spot then. That's evidence. But people tend to look at this big evidence, how their life's supposed to change in just a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're attached to that outcome. And that's what's holding us from the outcome is because we think the conditions are wrong now, which is probably what Josh was going to say, but I went in. Okay.
You want proof that your vibration is rising by noticing that things are improving in your world. However, the reason you are wanting your vibration to rise is because you think that this will create an escape from the life you do not enjoy. You are still focused on what you do not want rather than what you do want.
Okay. So really, when you get into this kind of practice, the approach to life, the new approach is focusing only on what's wanted and taking your attention away from what's unwanted. And the old approach to life is focusing on what's unwanted and trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. really the key here. Yeah.
I listened to a call with Jeanette and someone else, Jeanette Ma, and they were talking about how in the very beginning of this kind of journey, it's okay. You know, when you're in the situation, you're like, okay, wait, here's what I don't want. Now, what do I want? Yeah. So it's looking at being aware of what it is that you're currently not wanting and then shifting your focus. And then the more you practice it, the more you just focus only on what it is that you want. But like in the beginning, it's okay to like see that that's where your focus is, become aware of it, and then like sort of look for the opposite, not in that I want to get out of this, but like, this is what I don't want. So what do I want?
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So like a typical thing would be that like Lily will come home and talk about a problem with her painter. And so she'll try and fix this problem rather than focusing on what do you want. What do you really want? Mm. You want, you know, someone who does a great job and comes, and the problem that he's not always showing up on time really isn't a problem because you've already got what you wanted, which is someone who's really the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so just keep focusing on how good his work is and don't worry about this timing thing. And then the timing thing will be less of an issue, you know, because what you want is you want your customers to be happy, right? You want the quality of work to be the best it can be. You want things. So instead of asking him to be different than he is, why don't you could say things like, we have the best painter that there is. There is no one better than this. And he is very busy because of this. So we can't really promise it to you in 2 weeks. It might be 4 weeks. But if you're willing to wait that time, you will get the best quality for it. And then, of course, everyone is, and that takes the stress off her. Know, instead of trying to fix him to make him go faster so that she doesn't have stress. That's right. So focus on what it is you do want. When he I was thinking about this the other day, is like someone was getting mad at someone, and I'm saying, what you really want is harmony and peace, and so focus on that instead of asking them to be different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm so smart at theoretically talking about stuff. Like, after the fact.
I'm so good at telling other people
what to do.
Feel better.
Don't do what I do. Do what I say.
I've been practicing this on little things. Like the other day I was at the dog park and the ball bounced over the fence and I went out and we're looking for it. And I couldn't find it. And I was like, shit, you know, he loves this ball and he's going crazy. So I just stopped and I said, okay, Millions, where is my ball? Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding you. My head just went right to the ball. And so I've been doing it with other little things around the house, and it blows my mind. I mean, we really receive it.
It's so true. I do that with clothes. Look at my clothes mountain over there.
What a mess.
I know,
right? Oh, my God.
I just throw stuff, but I don't know if it's clean or dirty. And so the other day I was like, I really want to wear that one shirt tonight. And I just like stopped in my room and did the same thing. And I was like, where's my shirt? And like, boom, I just looked over and there it was like in the middle of the pile, but I just find it. So I threw it in the dryer and fluffed it up and then put it on.
Someday I'm going to be able to say, where's my yacht? Boom, there it is.
Castles.
Excuse me, sir, you're on my yacht.
Yeah.
I lost the remote control. And so I said, okay, we can figure this out. Where's the remote control? And I feel this sensation in my shoulder, and I turn around, and it was in the couch, stuck in the cushions, right where my shoulder was.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had looked for it for like half an hour.
Yeah.
Crazy. I love it.
Love it.
Me too.
But yeah, this is your millions. We all have millions of guides and supporters. Ask your millions.
I figured somebody's got to know,
what
right?
What are those millions got to know? Yeah, someone's going to be paying attention here.
And somebody really fucking loves helping people find things.
Yes.
You know, out of all those millions, there's like at least one or two that are like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
All
righty.
All right. Okay. Your experience of life is limited by fear. This is true of everyone. It is particularly true of you. However, you chose this. You chose the time and place of your birth. You chose the culture you have adopted. You knew that this world would cause you to adopt so many limiting beliefs. You are able to reach for better feeling thoughts, and that is very good. But the reason nothing is changing is due to your fears. You are still playing it safe. You are still afraid to expose yourself. You still believe that your persona defines you.
Your ego is still very strong, and this is limiting. This will take a bit of time to unravel, so patience is key here.
So this is really a thing of actually choose the time and place of your birth. And in this case, she chose Norway. And the culture of Norway has a lot of rules. It's, you know, you could have been born into a small town in Kansas in the 50s. It would be the same sort of thing, right? You had to go to church. You had to act a certain way. In Norway, they have a certain culture. And Astrid was talking about this. When she went to study in America, it was a culture shock there. And she opened up and became, you know, more engaging and friendly and that. And then when she went back to Norway, she really saw the difference, you know. You can't just, like, do what we think is normal, you know, hugging people and, I mean, hug 20 people a day, you know, here. And I think that'd be weird in Norway. So, anyway, so here she chose that experience because she knew that she would be, you know, stuck with all these limiting beliefs and little fears, and then she could, that would cause her to find Joshua and then work through this and then see what else happens. Move on.
Yeah, all right. Let us explain. You have this idea of who you are, and it is called your persona. It is the version of you that you want the world to see. You want to be thought of in a certain way so that you can feel comfortable in your skin. But your persona is false. It is not who you are. It is an extremely limited version of who you really are. As you realize that your persona is just a mental fabrication and means nothing, you can expand your idea of who you think you are. Once you do this, everything will change.
Okay. So your persona is a mental fabrication. It's just something that you create, but it's completely false. It's not who you are. Everyone is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, right? But no matter what you think you are, if there's a gap between the true version of you, the authentic version of you, and who you're being, and that gap, well, I'm just going ahead here. Is the difference. So let's go to the next one here.
You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. That's who you really are. Who you really are has no fear. Who you are being is limited by fear. Do you see the gap between who you really are and who you are being? The gap is the gap of fear. We will work together to remove fear.
Okay, so that's all it is. Who you are now is this persona that you've tried to define yourself, but, you know, what's funny is that everyone perceives you through their lens of perception based on who they think they are. So it doesn't matter who you project yourself because no one sees that anyway. Yeah. And the authentic you is this person who just doesn't have fear. In non-physical, who you really are is who you really are, right? And in non-physical, there is no fear because there's nothing to fear. And so you always are your authentic version of you. And in the non-physical, everyone knows your thoughts. There's no, and everyone's all, like, this is an individual experience of life, but in the non-physical, it's more of a joint experience, right? Everyone's experiencing things together. And here we're experiencing things together, too. It's just that we don't think we are. We have Go ahead.
When I was a little kid, I spent, like, a considerable amount of time worrying about if the power to read minds ever became a thing. That was really scary to me because I didn't want anybody to know what I was thinking because then they'd think I was bad, you know?
Right. Imagine, though.
Yeah,
if you could know what everyone was thinking, then you would get over this feeling insecure super quick because there's just nothing you can do about it, right? You have the thoughts that you have, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that you don't have to be good because there is no good. You don't have to be normal because there is no normal. Right? You can do whatever you want to do. So that
everybody else thinking weird shit just like you.
They're thinking weirder shit than you are. Just look at their browser history. If just their browser history was available to everyone, right?
Yeah. So let's all see what's in our browser history.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. A lot of porn. Just imagine the genre of porn, like, if that got out that people are interested in, right? Not just porn. Yeah. Okay, I can understand you're interested in porn, but that kind of porn? Now, that's weird.
Right. I've seen that in this group that I'm in, this, like, a chat group or whatever. People, you know, one person will be into this, like, thing that's kind of out there, but then somebody else comes in with another thing that's out there, and they're like, oh, well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
But it's also like a very supportive, like we just, people ask questions and like get to know about things. And like, even if it's hard to understand why somebody might be into something, it's cool to just have that conversation and to realize that, yeah, a lot of other people are weirder than you.
I sent Kyla a link to a older Joe Rogan podcast where he introduces this woman who's a humiliatrix. And what she does is there are men that want to be humiliated. It's all done online. And she makes these videos for them that humiliates them, right? Mm-hmm. And she's paid very well for it. And they really need it, you know, and it's a thing. It's a big mm-hmm. thing. She just mm-hmm. would never know without the internet. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Joe Rogan couldn't figure it out, you know. It seemed really strange.
It was funny listening to him talk about it because he was, on the one hand, sort of judging it and being like, that's really weird, those freaks, you know. Yeah. And then he's like, well, society just has this thing about sex, you know, and everybody judges it, but it's really people are just into what they're into. But then at the same time, he was judging it and then sort of moving along the line. It was interesting to see.
What's weird is that sex is like the most pleasurable thing in the world. And yet there's so much bullshit around it. And that, you know, you can only do it with certain people at certain times, you know, and certain situations. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably changing now, but when I was younger, it was a different thing.
It is. I'm meeting like more and more like-minded people that just see it as play.
Yeah,
you know, like my kids play with their friends. Like that's, you know, it's like a play for adults.
Right.
You know, Deborah Jo even said that when she was on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she calls it recess for adults, I think.
I love it.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
When you feel good, you will receive inspiration. These are ideas and thoughts that are sent to you from the non-physical. When you act on any idea, even if it's just to think about it and imagine it, you will move closer to what you really want. When you actually do something you're inspired to do, you will grow, and this is real change. However, when you receive an idea, you will always, always feel fear. Everyone feels fear. Everyone naturally has fleeting thoughts of why it won't work, why it won't be fun, or why they cannot proceed with the action. This is nearly universal. But those who consciously create the life they prefer move through these fears and take the action anyway. You do not always push past your fears. You are more limited by fear than you need to be. For you to notice real change, you will have to move through more and more fear. We will help you.
Okay, so no matter what the idea is, if you're feeling good and you get some inspiration, and these inspirations come 10, 20, 100 times a day, that's how much inspiration you get, right? It's always coming to you, but you reject 99% of it out of these little mm-hmm. rational fears. Ah, that's mm-hmm. not going to be fun. Oh, that's going to be a pain in the ass. Oh, it's going to be too heavy. Oh, and all the fears are the fear that possibly, if you do this thing, you might encounter negative emotion.
Mm.
Big fears you can see. I mean, big inspirations you can see. Like, I had the inspiration to do a Joshua Cruise. I thought that would be fun. However, there's a lot of fear around it. I'll have to, people will come to see me. I'll have to be this version of me they think I am, my persona. Mm. I'll have to channel Joshua live in front of people. I've never done that before. I hope everything works out. I hope it's money. It's expensive. I hope everyone's happy with it. You know, that sort of thing. But I said, screw it. Let's just do it and see what happens.
Mm.
If I charged people money, I would have been more fearful. So one of the devices to go through this was not to charge anyone, so therefore I had no responsibility for them to have a good time or not. It's up to them. They can't get their money back when there is no fee.
Donations will be accepted, though.
Free drinks. I expect bottles of wine.
Yeah. We'll put a hat out.
I'll put a hat out. You know, imagine, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but this is the evolution. It's the next logical step. And everything has gone this way, but you have to push past those fears. If you receive inspiration, then whatever the inspired action is for your highest good, and you can push past those fears because they're all irrational, and it'll work out. And I am thinking that there will be some joy and exhilaration on this cruise, which is almost sold out.
Yeah.
I think that we have room for 20 people, and there are like 18 people, so there might be two spots left. They may be sold out by now. Deborah Jo's off.
The thing,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, about inspirations like that, and then you push past the fear, like, and the best part is each one's just a step. So this cruise is one step, and like, so it's just like one part of what you want, and it's leading you. If you can push past the fear, do this cruise, then who knows? Maybe 6 months from now, we're in Costa Rica at Teal Swans Resort, you know? Yeah. And like that is, I mean.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, but if you don't do it, if you say, no, that's too much work, or, you know, you make up these stupid stories, we don't need to do a cruise. Lily can't go on the cruise because she's gets seasick, you know. No. I can always use that as an excuse not to do it. All these kinds of things. And, but, you know, if you don't take that step, then you just, how are you going to get to the next step?
Exactly.
Right? You're sort of stuck here. I mean, maybe you can take a different step that's a little easier, a little shorter step, and I know there's a million paths to where you want to go, but this was the one that was right in front of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but that's true of anything. Anything, anytime you receive inspiration. Mm. Alrighty.
I'm so excited for the cruise.
I know. And I was just thinking, there was a lot of, I had a lot of fear at the beginning too. It's like, you know, travel by yourself, go do this stuff, room with somebody you really don't know.
Well, what's interesting is you really didn't know Kyla. You guys are rooming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't really know Kyla that much.
No.
And so you're looking at this, you know, from that perspective back then, you didn't know who you're going to be on the cruise, and now you guys know each other intimately.
No, I feel like Kyla is like one of the biggest, one of the people that has the biggest part of my life. I mean,
yeah.
I just, and when you first sent me that email, Gary, you're rooming with Kyla. I'm like, what?
I know.
Kyla? I don't know Kyla.
You called me to talk about the cruise, and that was the first time that we really interacted one-on-one.
But then
we talked like five times that day, and like since then we just like this.
I want to get your room. I want a fucking balcony.
Yeah,
that's right.
Good, but anyway, so you know when these ideas come to you, they're for you. They're ready for you. You just maybe not see that jump, so you just have to push through the fear.
Okay. When you move through a fear and take action that is inspired, you will feel satisfaction. When you do not take action due to some irrational fear, you build negative momentum. Each time you do something and you push past the fear, you build positive momentum. This will build confidence, and soon you'll be able to do anything you are inspired to do. When you get good at pushing through fear, you will feel joy more and more of the time.
Okay. So that was the first thing in her question is, I want to feel joy. I want to do something fun. I want to do this sort of thing. Well, what Joshua is saying is that you're receiving inspiration that will lead you to all the things that you want, but you're just discounting them, and you're just pushing them away because there's some fear involved. You're not good at pushing through the fear yet.
Mm-hmm. When you meditate every day, you strengthen your ability to control thought. You get better and better at identifying fear. You get better at analyzing whether the fear is rational or irrational. You get better at recognizing inspiration. You receive inspiration now, but you push it aside before you even get the chance to think about it. The idea seems silly or impossible. But if you receive an idea and the idea seems fun, interesting, exciting, or challenging, that is inspiration, and you must push through the fear and attempt the action. You might not get the results you expect, so release your attachment to an outcome and just do it. Until you start moving through fear, nothing will really change.
Okay, so that's really it. If you're going to be limited by fear, you're just going to be living a limited life.
Mm-hmm.
You either live a limited life or a limitless life, and the difference is how good you are at pushing through these little fears.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can talk yourself out of certain things too, because you think, oh, I don't really want that, or, you know, this idea came to me, but I don't really want that.
Yeah.
But if the idea comes to you, then that is inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're, you know, if you're feeling, I mean, this is why it's so important to feel good. Because if you're feeling good, like right now I'm feeling really good. I'm doing the Joshua diet, and in there is the Joshua playbook. And you do some exercises in the morning and some things in the evening. And it's really focusing on how you're feeling right now in this moment. And how do you intend to feel, and how did you feel yesterday, and that sort of thing. And you really have to know how you're feeling. And if something comes to you when you're feeling good, then that is this gift from the universe to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to take advantage of these gifts all the time. Keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Yeah.
I think that what we're going to find when we transition and look back is how limited we lived our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's easy to discount those inspirations when we think that we're creating our own thoughts. But especially like when you're feeling good, if anything comes to you, that's been given to you, you know?
That's why we really have to focus on, or why it's really beneficial to understand that you don't create thoughts. The thoughts are received when you reach a vibrational level high enough to receive them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go around thinking that you're a thought factory and that every thought, then yeah, sure, you can certainly discount these thoughts because you think, well, this is just something that I created. But if it's, mm-hmm. if you realize it's a gift from your millions or from your inner mm-hmm. self or from the universe, and that it's leading you to where you want to go, it's part mm-hmm. of the guidance system, then you can follow these thoughts and give them and validate them and justify them.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joshua was talking about, we tend to, I do, I get a thought and I jump 50 steps ahead.
Right.
And it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, that'll never work. It's just take mm-hmm. that first little step. And it's like, I'm learning that that leads me to other steps that I didn't even know existed. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the jumping ahead part is the worst part.
That's the first thing, yeah.
Yep.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, that'll never work. You got to do blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe that's not where I'm supposed to go. Maybe I'm supposed to go to step number three, and then step number three will take me in this other direction. And,
mm-hmm.
yep.
and a leapfrog.
Yeah. And maybe it will take you exactly where you're going ahead of time. But by that time, you'll be a vibrational match to it, and it'll be no big deal. But here, mm-hmm. down here, it seems like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Okay. What is fear? Fear is the possibility that you might feel negative emotion. What is negative emotion? Negative emotion is the awareness that a fear is present. I like that. It's a catch-22 situation. Unless you realize that fear is meaningless other than an indication that your perspective is out of alignment with how your inner self is viewing the same subject, you will play it safe so as to avoid fear. It's the fear of fear that has you trapped. It will only get worse. Now is the time to face your fears, and together we will take it one baby step at a time.
Okay, so a fear, all that is the potential or the possibility to feel negative emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I fear that my house is going to get robbed. Okay, well, what would that mean? Well, that means that you're going to feel bad if your house gets robbed. You
it means you get
bad.
All new stuff.
Yeah, all right.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, I fear asking this person out on a date because if they say no, I'm going to feel negative emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you – and what you're doing is saying, I fear I'm going to take this limiting perspective on something.
Mm-hmm.
That's all your fear is.
Yeah.
You know, if something happens, then I might feel negative emotion. Well, change how you do about – so it's catch 22. All right, last one.
Today, we want you to notice any idea that comes to you and write it down. There may be 10, 20, or 100 ideas. You do not have to do any of them. The first step is to be aware of them. Write down a list of at least 10 ideas or thoughts that come to you and send us that list with your next question. You are loved more than you can imagine, and you are more magnificent than you believe. We are Joshua.
Okay, that last line is true of everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone is way more magnificent than they believe that they are.
Yeah.
Not me, but everyone else.
You know how magnificent you are.
Yes, yes, I do. Anyway, just kidding. But if you think of yourself as magnificent, more magnificent than you are, that gives you a little bit more confidence to push past these little fears. But also, you know, if you can realize, I say all the time, thank you to these thoughts and ideas that come to me.
Mm.
You know, thank you. I say thank you for that idea. Thank you for reminding me to bring this. Thank you for reminding me to get gas. Thank you for all these little things. Those aren't me just remembering things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, you need to get gas. Where did that come from? That came from one of the millions telling me I need gas.
Right.
Yeah. I don't just remember it. Yeah. Yeah.
I went to karaoke and
I would never do that.
That
is so scary.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
It's so much fun. But like, I was up really late and I didn't set my alarm before I went to bed. And I just happened to wake up like at exactly the right time, you know, when I worked the next morning. And so that was the first, like, I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you.
I don't know. How else could that happen?
But, so you did karaoke. How did you get past the fear to go up there and sing?
I didn't. It wasn't really a conscious thing. I just like followed inspiration, ended up at a coffee shop, ended up talking to this person who was going to karaoke. He was like, hey, do you want to go to karaoke? And I was like, And I thought no, but I was like, I'll go, but I'll just watch. And then I was there and like, I felt the inspiration again. And I, like at the time I'd never done karaoke sober and I was like, oh, I need a couple drinks first. But I was like, well, why? Like, why not just get up there and do it? You don't know these people. Who cares what they think of you?
Yeah.
And I did it and I got really awesome feedback. Like that was the time that everybody in the bar like yelled, ha, Kyla. Because I passed, like pushed through the fear and I had a blast on stage and just like tuned everybody else out. Like I closed my eyes for half of it and just like danced and pretended I was like in my bathroom, you know, dancing by myself.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, just had fun with it. And it was exhilarating.
Yeah.
And then I got back, it like reflected how I had chosen to feel about it. So
wow.
It was perfect. Now I do it all the time and I fucking love it. But I do still have fear sometimes. Like I picked this song last week that it was like a, you know, it meant a lot to me in my teenage years and it's not perfectly matched to my voice. So it wasn't like something I was real sure about. And I was like uncomfortable up there. And that reflected like, I mean, it was still very supportive feedback, but that was another like incident of like doing this thing that I'm comfortable doing, but still finding another way to like get outside of my comfort zone and confront some more. So
good.
I don't know. I just like,
was it Natural Woman?
You make me feel.
No. Maybe I'll do that next week.
That's a hard song. I sing that one all the time.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
Did you guys just mute me?
What? No, I'm a senior backup singer.
Yeah. We're doing a little.
I hope we can edit that part out. Jeez. It's embarrassing. All right. What are you guys going to do today?
Joshua stuff.
Oh, good. Joshua stuff. Good. Hey, everyone. We are planning to increase the number of people who are listening to this podcast and are interacting with us this year. We're going to go from whatever we are now to 10 times that amount. So we are looking for ways to expand our message. Please tell your friends about this. Send links to strangers. You don't have to tell them who you are. Whatever it is, get the word out there.
We're also talking about ideas for new content, like ways that we can engage with you guys and with more with each other because we love each other. But so if there's anything that you want to hear or any topics that you want to hear covered, let us know. And we're happy to do that, see what we can do.
Yeah, if you want to be part of the Joshua Live, we just had our first person who wasn't part of the one-on-one on there, and they had a great time. So if you're interested in that, go to theteachingsofjoshua.com and send us a note. And we'll tell you how that can work and how you can be part of that and maybe ask Josh a question if you want to. Or just sit there and listen. You know, when you're listening live, it's a little bit different thing because you're part of this energy that is around Josh is being channeled. And it's a lot of fun and, like, you get goosebumps and stuff. So that's fun.
And even if you don't want to talk about your stuff, if you hear them talking to somebody else and you have a question about something they're saying to the other person, you can ask them to, like, expand on that and then apply it to your own situation.
Right. And I'm going to go and win poker again today.
Woo-hoo.
It's the World Series of Poker in town, so it's fun sport to hear.
Nice.
Yeah.
Get it. Wendy, what are you doing today?
I haven't have any plans. It's kind of cloudy and Tom's out of town, so I'm just going to kind of, like, wait to see what presents itself.
Cool.
I like it.
Good.
Yeah. I like it. Real quick, I don't know if you said the website. The website is www.theteachingsofjoshua.com, and you guys can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua.
Do you have to say www in 2017?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know? Can we say triple dub, triple dub, teachingsofjoshua.com?
T-dub.
T-dub. Double. Anyway. Okay, so I hope you all had fun. Push past your fears. Do what you're inspired to do. Think about the things you're inspired. Okay, it's not like this bolt of lightning of inspiration. It's these little tiny things. It's nuanced.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not used to it yet, you know. The idea to call your mom. The idea to go, you know, read a newspaper or read a book or buy a book or, you know, something like that. Don't stop yourself from doing it. Just do it. And then see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. That's it for me. I'm
complete. Gary out.
Gary is complete.
Gary is complete. All right. We'll see you all on Joshua Live on Monday.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.